Good evening, Metal Faithful. It is your man, Data Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Radulich, and this is the Metal Hammer of Doom. Tonight, we are reviewing an album by a band called Green Jelly. Yes, sir, Bob. Green Jelly is an American comedy rock band formed in 1981 under the original name Green Jello, but due to legal pressure from Kraft Foods, like you do, the owners of the Jello brand, which claimed this was an infringement on their trademark, they changed it to Green Jelly. They are most notable for their Three Little Pigs song from back in 1992. Jesse Starcher, have you ever heard of the Three Little Pigs?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I remember sitting at my home watching MTV in the heyday of the 90s, and that video hit and became an instant classic my area. And these guys were, wow, they blew up real quick.
Went back down again.
They were there, and then they weren't. Like, it was really really odd how they could just kind of appear and then disappear. But regardless, I remember just going to school and everybody talking about that video and that song and going out and buying the Green Jello album. And I remember, hearing about the big controversy about how they had to change their name, controversy in quotes. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was more like Kraft just saying, hey, don't do that. And they were like, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
But regardless, it was, it was an interesting band that hit the scene right when I was really starting to get into MTV. And of course, the video was just insane. I remember that was one of the big attractions to that song.
For sure. Well, they have a new album out, for their first album in like 12 years. It goes like this. They started with Triple Live, Mother Goose at the Bootykin in 1989, and then Serial Killer Soundtrack, that was their big hit in 1993. 333 in 1994, Music to Insult Your Intelligence by in 2009, and now finally, all these many years later, they're back with a new album called Garbage Band Kids.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is a great album name and a great album cover, if I could say so myself. I love
it's fantastic, isn't it?
Garbage Pail Kids were a big part of my life back when I was, in third grade, walking down to the local Parmar gas station, spending my 25 cents on getting a pack of Garbage Pail Kids. But what a fantastic Brenda. Did you see? I don't know if you saw this or not, and it may be mentioned there. That they got one of the original Garbage Pail Kid artists to do the cover.
I did hear something like that. So this just came out June 11th. So, for the first time in a long time, like, we're actually doing something brand new.
That's right.
We've been all over the map lately. We've been either a couple of months off or a couple of years off. or a couple of genres off. Whatever. But, they dropped this new album June 11th, and, I got a kick out of it. I gave it a listen a couple of times, and I'm ready to get into this, man. We got a late start tonight for one reason or another, but I think it's time that we quit the jibba-jabba and just got right to the Garbage Band Kids.
Let's do it, man. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All righty. So we got three. We're going to do these in chunks of three like we normally do. First three are Pukebox, Silence of the Square Pants, and Punk Rock Pope.
They party all day and they party all night. You Bucks, you Bucks, we hate you. And if you're gonna play, you say fuck you too. You Bucks, we hate you. We're the kings of parody, you know it's true.
Trio that is. So
please tell me you have the lyrics up for Silence of the Squarepants.
Yes I do, as a matter of fact. I walked through this album with the lyrics in hand because I wanted to know what the hell was going on. So just real quick, Puke Box,
yeah,
that's where we get our appearance of Weird Al Yankovic, who doesn't show up in the song at all until the very end, which is just a recording of him
telling him to piss off,
basically saying, I can't lower my standards to be on your album, so I'm afraid not. So that was interesting. But yeah, so SpongeBob Silence of the Squarepants, okay, starts out just like you would normally hear. It's like a punk rock rendition of the SpongeBob Squarepants theme song.
Yep.
But then it slowly, I say slowly, by the second verse, things start getting a little bit strange as SpongeBob apparently is turning the people in Bikini Bottom into food. And there's a whole, like, there's a whole...
like, subplot.
Yeah, where Squidward and Patrick and SpongeBob are all talking, and it continues to get even crazier, to where at the end of this, Squidward and Patrick and Gary and Sandy are not all hooked on fava beans, are now all hooked on fava beans and Chianti. So anyway, it's a little strange. So I didn't know what I was going to get with this band. I knew what Three Little Pigs was. I think I'd heard a little bit of the album that song was on, and it was not my kind of thing. That's kind of why I did not gravitate towards it back then, other than just watching that fantastic video and going, oh, okay, well, that's it. So with this new album, I hadn't heard anything that's come before it other than that, and I already could tell by the end of the first song, I was like, oh, this is silly. Second song, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is definitely silly. And it's funny because the first song, they're coming out and telling you, we're the Kings of Filthy parody, and they certainly are. But Punk Rock Pope is probably up there on this album as at least top three for me, because I really, really enjoyed the sound from them. It's goofy in its own way, but it's very metal, in my opinion. We get a lot of different genres that pop up throughout this album.
Yeah, that's the thing. First three tracks here, but I think it's sort of emblematic of the whole album, is how rhythmic it actually is. You know, like, it isn't just... Like, certainly kind of joke bands, sometimes it's more about the comedy than it is about creating really smooth music. And that's not the case here. Like, they actually created some really memorable songs.
I agree. We got Punk Rock Pope is up there for me. And we'll hit another couple as we go through that really stand out.
Oh, these next three are, like... The first two out of the next three are, like, my two picks.
All right.
I don't know where you're going to land for your pick for the year. So, like, if you're going one way, then I know what my second choice is. But, yeah, these next two for sure are on the list.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on here and play the next three songs. I keep doing that. This is Fuck It and The Boy Who Cried Wolf and The Drinking Song.
Fuck that shit!
I can't think of a lie!
Fuck it!
You're never gonna work!
Fuck it!
All the beer's warm!
Fuck it!
And I gotta pay the rent, come on!
Fuck that shit!
My credit card declined on!
Fuck it!
You know it's trash night!
Fuck it!
I'm trying to get another 12-pack!
Fuck it!
Cause I'm drunk as shit!
Fuck that shit!
Fuck the radio, this song's for you!
It's Lazy T coming through with the Green Jello Crew!
Now your world's upside down and it's got you screwed! Life's a bitch, fuck it, I mean, what can I do?
I crack a brew that might loose and drown the abyss. No excuse for this machine, cause I gotta produce.
Gotta recruit, gotta have love for my group.
Same shit, different day, like a suck in a loop.
I can't think of a lie,
fuck it.
You're gotta go to work,
fuck it.
All the beer's warm,
fuck it.
And I gotta pay the rent, come on,
fuck that shit.
My credit card declined on,
fuck it.
You know it's trash night,
fuck it.
I'm trying to get another 12-pack,
fuck it.
Cause I'm drunk as shit,
fuck that shit.
Trash and find another flask.
So as we're listening to this, I'm trying to find Green Jelly's like Twitter account, and they might not have one. But you know what I did find?
Tell me.
Green Jelly and Wrestling Boot Trash Can Band. And the tweet is, in 2021, looking back, Green Jelly's decision to team with Hulk Hogan to covey Gary Glitter has not aged well. I think we need to hear this.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you find it? Can you play it?
Give me a sec. Hang on.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and switch the tabs here and go. That is the most peculiar thing I've ever heard.
Not one brother. Uh, 1993, according to what it's saying here. Now, I'm looking at discogs.com, which may be the same thing that you were looking at. I don't know.
I'm looking at the YouTube clip.
It says, for some reason, it says country, UK. So I wonder if that is something that got released across the pond. And you wouldn't think. I mean, that's Green Jelly. This is 1993. They are hot off of that track. Three Little Pigs. And Hulk Hogan.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. The single, I'm the Leader of the Gang I Am, which is a Gary Glitter song. And that's what it linked me to. Nothing having to do with Green Jelly.
Really strange. Yeah. I want to know the story behind this. Really,
yeah,
I do.
Where are you at? Are you what?
I was on discogs.com. I was just looking at it. Just gives a few stats of the thing, but there is an article on WrestleCrap.
Oh boy.
It came from YouTube. Hulk Hogan and Green Jelly, I'm the Leader of the Gang music video. And that's it. There's no description as to why the hell this happened.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like it's a full album either.
Wait, we need to talk about this. The Wrestling Boot Band is a musical group fronted by Hulk Hogan, which included the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, and Hogan's then-wife, Linda, and John J.J. Maguire.
All right. The Wrestling Boot Band.
The Wrestling Boot Band. That's
just
hilarious.
Just curious. Let me look here if we can find anything. Wrestling Boot.
That's been a while since we've done a, what do we call these? The wiki rabbit hole?
A wiki rabbit hole for sure. That's interesting. I stumbled across something called Booty in Wrestling.
Wait. Also, Green Jelly released a single, a duet with Hogan, performing Gary Glitter's classic song, I'm the Leader of the Gang I Am. Okay, yeah, that's for real.
I mean, it just... We
How
have
bizarre.
No explanation as to why it happened. And I want a freaking long-form article that I can read. That explains to me how
I
these two...
I am tweeting this guy now.
Explain.
Myself and Jesse at Stisnor Key. Live tweeting, everybody.
That's right. Green Jelly, leader of the gang, UK 7-inch vinyl. So, let me see if we have any history here. This item is an excellent... or well, this guy's trying to sell it. Okay. We buy items as close to mint condition. Yep. Okay. No real explanation as to what's going on there.
All right. Cool. All right. So, now that I'm not completely distracted by this amazingness, yeah, the Boy Who Cried Wolf is jamming, man. Like, that is smooth as silk. Just, like, the it, you know, it has kind of a stoner metal vibe to it. And I have to tell you, I was driving around listening to this album, giving it a good pre-listen, and Fuck It came on. I had my kids in the back seat like you do.
Oh, boy.
And my son's like, so, Dad, he's 7.
Yep.
He says, are you aware that you have children in the car? And I said, I do, Jonas, I do. He was like, why do you insist on playing... This is my son. My son's, like, calling me out and shit. Mm-hmm. Why do you insist on playing music that's inappropriate for children? And I said to Jimmy, and I said to Jonas, and I said, listen, first of all, it's A, nothing you haven't heard before. B, there's going to be people cursing in this world. There's going to be music with curse words in it. You'll be fine. You cannot like it. I'm okay that you're a good boy for not liking it. Okay, you're a good, nice boy, and you should continue to not like swearing in songs. That doesn't mean it's going to go away. It means you just have to learn to live with it.
So, I mean, if you're going to get the kid used to the word fuck, why not use a song that apparently has it in there 56 times, according to my search bar here on... 56 uses of the word fuck throughout that song. That might beat Limp Bizkit.
No, you know what it probably doesn't beat, though? Fuck by Buckcherry.
Okay. Well, I think the gauntlet has been thrown down. I could find those lyrics and do a quick look.
All right, you do that. Well, before you do, tell me what you thought of these three songs.
Oh, yeah, hey.
By the way, Drinking Song is right in our wheelhouse, by the way. It is right up there with all the pirate metal we listen to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote down. Pirate metal crossed with Dr. Seuss for some reason. I don't know what... happened, but if you look at some of the stuff, he's like, I'll drink in the house, I'll drink with a mouse, and I'm like, oh, this is Dr. Seuss pirate metal. And then the Boy Who Cried Wolf, I was like, oh, we're going to get another parable here. It was kind of like with this nice modern sense of social media and how it affects others out there, and it's an interesting song lyrically when you dive into it. But yeah, I really did enjoy it too. It was presented well. And Fuck It, of course, you can't really say much more other than, my goodness, you just want to yell that along with him, because for he's sure. having a shitty day just like a lot of people are.
Yes, sir.
So I'll look up, while we go to the next three, I'll take a look at, you said it was Buckcherry's Fuck, right?
I believe it's let me double check that. I believe it's Fuck by Buckcherry.
Taking a look right now.
Yeah, it's
now.
A whole EP called Fuck.
I'm just looking at... you're going to make me do the whole EP?
Well, no, not the whole
Pick
EP.
Pick a song.
No,
I
just
was
going to
say, you got... all right then.
Okay,
I'll
hang
look it
on.
Up.
Let me help you. So, the track listing... We are so distracted on this podcast tonight. So, there's Somebody Fucked With Me, Say Fuck It, which is an Icona pop cover. The Motherfucker, I Don't Give a Fuck. It's a Fucking Disaster, Fist Fuck, and Mama Kin from Aerosmith.
Pick
probably
one.
We don't need to check. Let's compare Green Jelly's Fuck It to Buckcherry's Fuck It.
Say Fuck It? Okay, I like it.
Say Fuck It.
Got it.
All right, here we go. In the meantime, in between time, let's go ahead and play the next three tracks here. This is Back Alley Dentist, Champion, and 333. Too long there. What's up? What do you got?
So, you picked wrong. You picked poorly, sir.
Oh, did I?
Say Fuck It has only 24 uses of the word fuck compared. I think that's about near half of Fuck It from
Green. Well, try another one then. Green Jelly.
I want to win, damn it. Well, what was the other song that we had on air? Hold on a second. Let's do the motherfucker. I mean, he's probably going to say that quite a few times. The motherfucker. And then we look at the lyrics. This is their second shot. Let's see how they do. So here you go. Control F brings the total count up to 30.
So still not as many as Green Jelly.
And that's counting the fucking motherfucker. So
you know what would have helped them write better songs and maybe better uses of the word fuck, Jesse? Do you know what would have been?
Tell me all about it, Mark.
Buck Cherry, to compete with the masters of using the word fuck, apparently, should have gotten on the Grammarly.
Yes.
Grammarly would have helped them write better songs with the word fuck in it so that they could compete with Green Jelly.
I guarantee you there is a word count option in there.
For sure. Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, spelling mistakes, while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, go to getgrammarly.com/W2M Network. Again, that's getgrammarly.com/W2M Network to download Grammarly for free.
Just to let you know,
just say
when
fine.
I listen, when I listen to our network's podcasts at 2 speed, you sound like the Micro Machines guy when the Grammarly ad hits for some reason.
From Galoob. All right. So, those are fun songs. I don't know, oh shit, you know what? I stopped that one early. It doesn't matter. So I did Back Alley Dentist and Champion. That's all right. We need to get the Grammarly ad in there anyway.
Yeah. So Back Alley Dentist is damn hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, look, at the beginning of this album, they're throwing the gauntlet down. They're throwing the, taking the gloves off and challenging Weird Al Yankovic to be on the album or you to compete with them. And Back Alley Dennis is probably one of the ones up there that I could see them using. Because it's just so absurd and hilarious. You know, he's like talking to this woman and trying to talk. He's trying to impress her with these crazy stories about how he almost died. Yeah, he ends up getting dental work from a janitor. So there's that. And Champion, I don't know what to think about Champion. Cause,
is it weird that, like, we're around the same age, so I don't know if this was a style in the OYO. But do you remember when, like, Champion sweatshirts were a thing?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So like, that's what I was thinking about. Like, and I know that's not what the
song.
That's
what they were going for.
But that's all. Like, as I'm listening to it in my head, I'm just thinking about like every junior high kid and like you know early ninth grade kid that I went to high school with, you know, and all in their Champion sweatshirts and like how it was just a thing to have. It was a thing to have, Jesse. Everyone had to have a Champion sweatshirt, and like it took me forever to get mine because like they were expensive back in the day, but I did. I finally got a Champion sweatshirt.
Yeah, well, I think I might have a few of them laying around here still to this day.
Really?
Yeah.
So old. We're talking about like the early 90s here.
I think they still put out shirts. I'm pretty sure.
The Champion sweatshirts from back in the day.
The Champion. I'll have to look up what these Champion shirts look like then. I couldn't tell, though, with that song if it was. There wasn't really much that was funny about it. I mean,
Yeah.
It seemed straightforward. Exactly. It seemed straightforward. It seemed like, hey, I'm a guy that's going to kick your ass. Maybe that's funny in its own right. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of impetus behind it as to why they came up with that song. But that is probably one of my least favorite off this album.
For sure.
And that's right. It, right? We didn't do 333, right? We're doing that next.
Yeah, okay. We're going to do let's jump into that now. 333, hey, hey, hey. My third favorite song on here. My third favorite song on here, Beat My Meat.
Of course.
Here we go.
I was bored cause your mom was no fun. Standing on a chair in my underwear, singing silly songs with my horns in the air. To book a green jello orgasm with me, call 1-900-4-B-U-B-B-E-T. 333, it's the only way for me. Middle finger in the air if you know what I along with me. 333, it's the only way for me. Hey!
I am off on my time tonight because I'm so distracted, but that song is fucking hilarious. It's so good. Can we just talk about this lyrical geniuses here?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. My goodness. So, as if the title of Beat My Beat could not be, you know, is there a way to figure out what they're talking about? I don't know. That couldn't be more on the nose or the tip, I guess I should say.
Let me just say that I'm your butcher. I'm your meat pounding man. You like my sausage, but you'll love my ham.
Oh.
Jerkin' chicken is what you crave. Then you'll be my meat-pounding slave, Jesse Starcher.
So
when there's fat, we tenderize. Slam the ham bone between the thighs.
Yeah.
I just, when they were workshopping this around, they were like coming up with songs like, what if we wrote a song about jerking off, but the whole song is about barbecue. Right?
That's, you know, so I'm sitting there listening to this going, okay, there's going to be a twist at the end. They're not really going to say that they're referencing jerking off in any way. This is all going to be food related, right? And that's what most of it is. But then we get to the very end where he says, and I think it's like barely audible, but he goes, you know, this could be taco heaven or this could be taco hell. And I knew at that point that we have some food. What are these called? Allegories?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, whatever. We listen. He's talking about jerking off. There is no doubt about it. Not any doubt. Spank the pig and make it hoot, Mark Radlich.
That's the only way I beat my meat.
I'm the beef, you're the chicken breast. I'll cock a doodle, do the rest.
I'll beat your bacon, I'll beat your ham. You beat my sausage, I won't tell your man. Choke the chicken and play the skin flute.
Okay, so there. Oh, yeah. I mean.
Wait. Spank the pig and make it hoot.
Yes.
I'm the beef, you're my chicken breast. I'll cock a doodle,
do the rest.
Oh, my God, this is so funny.
Beat my meat. So, yeah, they are absolutely the kings of filthy parody, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're
the kings. I mean, there's still Steel Panther out there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew you were going to immediately bring out Steel Panther and say, okay, these Steel Panther's up there. And Green Jelly hasn't been on the scene for 12 years. So they can't really be the kings, I guess. But regardless, they're doing a good job at least trying to make themselves known.
For sure. The other two songs that we listened to was 333 and Hey Hey Hey. They were fine. Like I was laughing so hard to Beat My Meat, I don't even remember them at this point.
333, I think there's a reference in that song to, I think it was created by fans or something along lines, because they, you know, in the middle of the song, they're just like, who wrote this shit? And they proceed to just, you know, they lay into whoever wrote it, it's interesting to say the least. And which one was it? I don't think we've hit it yet. No. Hey, hey, hey. I mean, that was catchy in and of itself. There is a pretty fat bass line in there too. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, and there's some catchiness to it. But yeah, Beat My Meat of the three of this trio. I mean, Beat My Meat is untouched. Or touched, however you want to say it.
So has the song you're picking for the end of the year list, has it come up yet?
I'm on the fence, because as this album goes, it kind of starts to slowly kind of fall off for me, and I don't know if that's just because there's so much silliness going on here, and some of the stuff is so nonsensical, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So I think I'm going to probably lean on Punk Rock Pope as being the one I pick.
All right, put me down then for The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
There's no... Oh, you are not picking Beat My Meat?
No. It was honestly, it was Boy Who Cried... I mean, as funny as Fuck It and Beat My Meat are, the song that sounds the best to me, the song that gives me the most in terms of, like, pure craftsmanship is Boy Who Cried Wolf.
I like it. Okay, that sounds good. It's on there.
All right. Just we can get through the end of this. We got six more tracks to go. The next three are Weirdo. What a weirdo.
So weird.
Weirdo, Frito Feet, and Ballad of Green Jelly.
Into a minivan so I can
All right, so Frito Feet's fucking hilarious. I texted you, like, when I played the album the first two times, I never got this far into it.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I heard that one, and I cracked up.
Yeah, for a song that makes absolutely no sense, they do a fantastic job of getting everybody ready for that right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Where they come out and they say, listen, if you're not high already, this song is not going to really do anything for you. And lyrically, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what the hell is going on. I mean, I've been on Genius Lyrics before and questioned the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I questioned this whole damn song.
Because okay.
I'm like, is he actually saying that? It sounds like he's saying that. But is that what he means? Because there is stuff that just doesn't make any sense. And then, in the middle of it, Hacksaw Jim Duggan shows up.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. He calls in, and he says something along the lines of blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, is that Hacksaw? And then all of a sudden, you hear him say, what do you think, tough guy? Ho! And I'm like, yeah, he's credited as being on this album, if you go look it up.
Oh, that's funny as hell.
Yeah. It's heavy. It's a heavy song, but it makes no sense. Weirdo is exactly that. I mean, these three songs really are some of the... They're some of the craziest, absurd songs that you hear on the album, especially this trio. Weirdo, I was just like, I was shaking my head. I was like, what is going on? Why are they singing this? This doesn't make any sense. And then Ballad of Green Jelly, okay? This apparently is a typical Green Jelly show. That's what they're trying to get across here. You know, the guys in the car traveling to get to show and what they're going to be like and what's going to happen. There's puppets involved. All this crazy stuff is going on. But I want to read to you one of the lyrics that occur later on in the song. So it says, grab you a puppet and get on the stage. The crowd is screaming, hey, hey, hey. I shout out the fans and I tell them to lay, then jump up in the air as the bear song plays. Psycho holds the mic cord so it doesn't trip the fans. Beer pours down my ball sack to the mouth of a man.
Perfect.
And I'm like, if this happened at a Green Jelly show, which most likely I would assume it did, because that's just the way these guys roll. But yeah, man, these three are just out there, dude. They're out there.
They really are. All right. I think, where are we at here? We got three songs left. Let's pay some bills real quick. You can find this album on AmazonMusic.com. You can actually find... I should probably write down the time. I'm so off my game tonight. You can check out all the Green Jelly albums on AmazonMusic.com. And a great way to do that, there's going to be a link in the description of the podcast. If you click it, you will get a free 30 days of AmazonMusic.com. Right now, for your streaming, you got the remastered 333. You got the Serial Killer, which is probably their most famous album, and then Music to Insult Your Intelligence by. It's fan-fucking-tastic. It's so good. Let's see. Is this new one on here? You know what's on here?
Tell me.
I'm the leader of the gang.
Are you kidding me?
You can buy I'm the Leader of the Gang on Amazon.
Well, I'm getting my money ready right now.
It's a $30 CD.
Well, that's all?
Yep. However, this new one, Garbage Band Kids, is actually not available for streaming on AmazonMusic.com. But you know, you can buy the album, and then you can check out these other streaming ones using AmazonMusic.com by clicking your link at getamazonmusic.com/W2M network.
Fantastic!
Yeah, get a free 30 days. Check out some other Green Jelly if you've enjoyed what you heard tonight, and you know, then you can go to their Bandcamp or whatever. You can buy their album. How about that? That or you can just buy the audio. Great. You can buy the vinyl. Do you have a record player, Jesse? Do you put the needle on the record?
And let that spin. Sure.
Terrific.
I see a lot of people buying vinyl all the time. And I don't, I mean, you've never brought it up. I've never brought it up. But, I mean, are you...
No, because I'm not a hipster.
Thank you, sir.
Not a hipster.
No, you know, look, I understand the arguments for vinyl. I just, look, I've got too much shit in my house already. I don't need a big-ass box full of records that I need to make sure my kids don't touch on top of all the other comics.
I was going to say, if we're going to talk about this, like, I buy records or extreme records to listen to them. Like, the nerdy, like, record store people, who, you know, or vinyl people, who are like, oh my god, the sound is much better when it's on wax. It's fine. I hear it on Amazon Music or any other streaming service, it sounds just as good. This crap about, oh my god, it's so much better when it's this way. Like, alright, take a breath.
I've never been in the room and listened to an album on a record in a very, very long time. So the argument of it sounds better falls on deaf ears right now, just because unless I'm in the room and actually can be like, oh, wow. But I will tell you that the novelty of having a record, and like, I've seen some beautiful LPs.
Sure.
The artwork on these things, I've seen the records themselves. Like,
in terms
fantastic.
Of art pieces, that's one thing.
Yeah, that's where I would probably see the collectability of it.
Yeah, like I'm not taking away anybody's joy of collecting junk. By all means, like, I have Funko Pops in my house. My wife got me Little People because, you know, I'm a huge fan of like the Ultimate Warrior.
She found
an Ultimate Warrior Randy Savage 2-pack of Little People because I remember when, you know, like, I don't know if your kids did Little People. Kira might not have been might have been too old. But, like, you know, I don't know if your sons, who were around Jonas and Lily's age, I mean, Lily had shit tons of Little People. So did Jonas for a little while. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm looking it up right now, just trying to figure out what you're talking about, because I do not recognize the name. Fisher-Price Little People.
Yeah.
So
they've made, like, generic Little People, but they've also made Little People of, like, famous characters. So there's, like, shit tons of Disney ones, and there's Marvel ones and DC ones. And, like I said, they just put out, like, this collector's Ultimate Warrior Randy Savage 2-pack. And my wife got it for me for, I think, my birthday, just as a gag gift, because I'm a huge Warrior fan. And she tried to get me an Ultimate Warrior Funko Pop. That was, like, $100.
Oh, yeah, those can go for some money.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so I'm looking right now at... So I remember these, the classic ones I recognize. They're mm-hmm. the little ones with the holes in the bottom. They had no arms. They were just like little pegs almost with hats on. Is that it?
Something like that.
Okay. I'll send you the picture. You tell me if it's right or not, but I can tell you that I got a few of these in an auction a while back. This is the same thing.
To play with? Just in your basement?
No, this came with a whole box full of things. Trust me, before I would play with these things, I'd be playing with my G.I. Joes I got. So, there you go.
I think it's time to end the podcast.
Now, you know what? I'm going to go get my toys right now and have a battle right here while we're talking about the last three songs.
You going to put the title on them? You going to have like a Little People Federation?
One, two, he kicked out.
All right, so there's a re-recording of Three Little Pigs on here, then Magnus Arena... And then Holy Man Back. These are our last three songs of the night, and then we're getting the fuck out of here.
Why don't you sit right back? And I may tell you a tale of three little pigs and a big bad wolf. Little piggy, he was kinda hicky. Spent most of his days just a dreaming of the city. And then one day he bought a guitar, moved to Hollywood to become a star. Living on the farm, he knew not
nothing of the city. Built his house out of straw with a pity. Then one day he was jamming on some chords. Along came the wolf just to knocking on his door. Little pig, let me in. Little pig, let me in. And I'm puffin', blow your house in. Puffin', blow your house in. Puffin', blow your house in. Puffin' and I'm blow your house in. So the second little piggy, he was kinda smoking, spent most of his days just a gun just smoking, hopping in a puppet down at Venice Beach, getting paid money for religious speech. He built his shelter from garbage he picked, mostly made up of old cans and sticks. And then one day he was cranking out the barley. Along came the wolf on his big bad Harley. Little pig, let me in. Little pig, let me in. And I'm puffin', blow your house in. Puffin', blow your house in. Puffin', blow your house in. Puffin' and I'm blow your house in. Mary, may I win? Notify your Mexican kin. I'm already inside your head. What's done is done and left for dead. The roaring crowd has got my back.
So there is a story behind the last. Well, they actually kind of tie the last two tracks together.
Okay.
But before we get into that, what do you think of the re-recorded Three Little Pigs?
A little bit heavier. A little bit heavier than the original. Definitely, they cleaned it up a bunch. So I liked it. You know, I'm gonna give my final thoughts on this whole album. I had a good time listening to it. Like so much of, and I've talked to you about this before. So much about what we've talked about on the Metal Hammer of Doom over the last couple of years. I mean, a lot of it sometimes feels like obligation. Like, oh, this is the new hot album this week. But, like, I don't have necessarily... Like, I have fun talking to you. I have fun talking to you about anything. But I don't always have fun listening to the album. And we've talked about that a bunch of times where it's just like, okay, I mean, it was fine. And we ended up, like, not having a whole lot to say. This is kind of in that Rum Ahoy, Ale Storm, Steel Panther, Bongzilla.
Yeah.
Dr. Colossus, Oakley Dokley. You know, like, it's funny, Sean Garmer, the patriarch of the W2M network, he was like, part of the reason why the Metal Hammer of Doom is probably our most listened to podcast amongst all the podcasts that we share on this one network is because we're so niche. You know, everybody's talking about X, but, you know, we're one of very few people talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, Green Jelly just right in there. You know, like, I'll remember Green Jelly in a month from now. I don't remember a day to remember at all.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I mean, just to kind of sum up my final thoughts, this is a fun album. A lot of it doesn't make sense, and I think that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can find some stuff in there. They're being funny for funny's sake in a lot of this stuff, and a lot of the stuff that you're hearing. And some of the songs are, you know, straightforward and funny enough. But then you get Weirdo and Frito Feet, and it's just like, okay, what are we doing here? It's not a knock on the guys. It's just like they're here to have a good time. They're here to sing about some really absurd shit, and they're doing just a fine job doing that. So I enjoyed myself. Didn't hate it. There was a few songs I really enjoyed and just scratched my head on a couple others. But if I could go, I know one guy that is a friend of mine that I cannot wait to tell them that Green Jello has released a new album, and he needs to check it out because I think he would probably enjoy some of the funniest shit that's on here.
Sure.
So actually, you know, it's interesting because those last three songs are actually connected. So I mentioned the last two are actually the last three are the original Three Little Pigs. You heard it right there where the pig kind of speaks up and is in a falsetto voice, by the hair of my chinny chin.
Yeah, it's different from the original.
Yeah. Maynard James Keenan of Tool was that voice of the pig.
Nice.
All right. Now, you go to Magnus Arena. If you listen to that song, you can tell that it's heavily influenced. And it's hilarious, too, when you think about the irony that happens in that song. It's heavily influenced by Tool. It starts out very similar to a Tool song and the exact opposite of Arena Rock, which this song, when you lyrically go into it, it's talking about, is Tool. I mean, you are not going to hear Tool being played at an arena during a sporting event. It's just something that I cannot see ever happening. So you can see right there, these guys knew each other at some point. And that's key when it comes to Holy Man Back. So, Mark, I know we've talked in the past. You're not the biggest fan of Tool. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So on one of their albums, I can't remember which one, Anima, Tool had a song, a track. We're not going to call it a song. It's a track called Hairy Man Back. Okay. And when you listen to that song, it is a message much like kind of like what we heard with Weird Al Yankovic and Wink Martindale, which by the way showed up at the end of Three Little Pigs. Wink Martindale, wasn't he a game show host?
That sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah,
same thing with Wink Martindale where they're trying to get him to come on the record and he's like, you know, don't think so. But anyway, somebody had called one of the guys. I think they were rooming with each other at some point or something, and this Italian guy, this is back in the 90s, okay, this Italian guy was a friend of the band, I guess we'll say. He's living at somebody's house, ends up like stealing some shit and gets kicked out.
Okay.
Yep. He steals some shit, gets kicked out. That's what happens. But because he gets kicked out, he gets so pissed that he calls the owner of the house and he leaves this like horrible message, and he's got this real thick Italian accent, and he's like, I'll read you some of the stuff that he said. He says, basically, go off and die. I hope one of your I hope a member of your family dies soon.
Oh God.
And it's just, it's really dark and he's really pissed. And so when the members of Tool, I think it was, I don't know if it was Maynard or if it was somebody else, but somebody grabbed that message, that voicemail that was left, and put it as a track on Enema back to some really quaint piano music. And it's hilarious when you listen to it. So Holy Man Back is a parody of that song, and the guy starts out in Italian, and the whole message is nothing but positivity. So it's like this guy called back and he's like wishing many blessings on you. And one of the things I went to Google Translate just to throw some stuff in. I wanted to see what the hell they put in Italian, because most of it, well, I'll say most of it, the first part and a lot of the last part is in Italian. So I'm like, okay, what is he saying here? I'll read this to you. This is Google Translate's version of what is being said in Italian, I think at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The road is made of blood and cement. Having nothing more to tell means being fabula rasa. Note, scratch, scratch, you always get to the crust. Life is a counterpoint. Good is bad and bad is good. Long live Puccia Cera and the pizza with tuna.
Okay, then.
That is, but yeah, I love how I was looking at the name of that track and I'm like, they are tying that back to Tool, aren't they? And then it immediately hit me, Harry Manback, and the vitriol that Italian guy just laid out on that voicemail. And then this thing is almost the complete opposite. You know, I love you zillions. Thank you so much for commenting on my stuff. It's hilarious. But a great way to end it, in my opinion. You know, they're paying their honors, I guess, to Tool and Maynard and all that. But fun stuff. Those were like the two most interesting songs for me to go and start digging on while I was listening to this album today. Had a lot of fun, Mark Radulich. Good times, good times.
Yes, sir. Alrighty, so that wraps it up for this edition of the Metal Hammer of Doom. Next week we're back. We're a little more serious fare. We're reviewing the new Fear Factory album. This Saturday is an oldie but a goodie. Jesse convinced me to put this up, even though someone called me names when I originally recorded it. We did a Pantera retrospective, and I kind of went into some personal stuff. And I posted it on 401 Mania back in the day, because I used to write for their music site. And somebody was like, I couldn't listen to this for more than 5 minutes because of the whining and the crying on it. I'm like, okay, then. Remind me never to share my feelings. We're a long ways from there, and Jesse was like, don't be like that. Just put everything up. I'm like, okay. So
yeah, initially, I thought you would badmouth somebody, and they were like, you know, what would you say, like, just in defensive mode and like tearing you down. But no, you shared your feelings, and somebody got upset about how you were sharing your feelings, and they're not bad feelings. I don't understand. So I'm glad to hear it's going to be up.
So yeah, the Pantera retrospective is up this Saturday, and then just kind of focusing on Metal Hammer of Doom stuff. We have the Fear Factory review a week from Wednesday. And then on Monday, the 28th, is one of the very first Metal Hammer of Dooms we ever recorded. It was actually the first one picked by Robert Cooper. The very, very first one we ever did was the Death Clock. But shortly after that, we did Black Country Communion, which was really an odd pick by Cooper. But he wanted to do it, so we did. It was Black Country Communion Afterglow, which is one of those supergroup bands. So we'll re-air that on Monday, the 28th. And then on Wednesday, in our usual time slot, we're doing another re-air. We're doing Testament, Dark Roots of Earth, very first Testament album we ever reviewed on the Metal Hammer of Doom. Because there's no Metal Hammer of Doom live next week, in 2 weeks. There's other stuff going on. I don't have time to do it. So in the meantime, we'll be back July 7th for Buckcherry, Hellbound. What do you think about that, Jesse?
I cannot wait.
Yes, sir. Then the week after that, there's no Metal Hammer of Dooms scheduled. There's no re-airs either. Wow, I am all over the place with this calendar. But Jesse, instead,
of reviewing a metal album, we're going to instead review Gunpowder Milkshake. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Hopefully this will work out better than Vanquish.
I hope so.
Then the following Wednesday, we're reviewing Scooter, God Save the Rave, which we got all into Scooter after we heard them on the Mortal Kombat soundtrack. So that'll be fun.
Listen to that on my vacation, as a matter of fact.
God Save the Rave.
That's right.
Very good. And then, oh my God, I hate the fact that my mouse is so sensitive. Like, I touch it and my calendar goes wee, and I'm into like 3 years from now. On July 25th, we have the Clutch Retrospective from 1993 to 2009, which I think is like what made you like a big fan of ours.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's I immediately knew I was going to be friends with Mark Radlich as soon as I heard that.
So that's July. Just to kind of quick take you through August, we've got a re-airing of Hatebreed, The Divinity of Purpose, the very first Hatebreed album we ever reviewed.
Ooh, nice.
A review of Earth Rocker on August 8th from back in the day. And our two-part Megadeth retrospective will be on August 14th and August 15th. And then our review of Super Collider from back in the day will be on August 18th. But, so we have a lot of re-airings. Our first Fintroll album that we ever reviewed will be up on the 22nd. But I swear to God, we're going to start doing real, like, I promise by September, we're back in the swing of things. Okay, so I have some fun announcements here. So we're doing, on September 1st, we're doing the new D. Snyder. On September 8th, we're doing the new Beartooth. To celebrate the first day of Hispanic Heritage Month, assuming it comes out on time, it's supposed to come out September 3rd, we are going to review Magra de Oz Bandera Negra, which is a Spanish folk metal band. I'm going to kidnap Jesse the week of September. I'm going to make him do a TV party for Paradise City and review the new Andrew W.K. God is partying. It's fucking amazing. And then finally, Sepultura apparently did a whole bunch of recordings during the pandemic and put them out as Sepulquarta. So, you know, during the quarantine is what that's supposed to be. So we'll review the new Sepultura album on September 29th. And then we're into covers month. Every year, every October, we do covers. We got the new Monster Magnet, the new Saxon. We'll take a break for 2 weeks. We'll do the new Halloween because it's Halloween. Get it? We'll do an Ice Nine Kills album that celebrates like horror movies called The Silver Scream. And then on November 3rd, we've got Lord Uncovers. And then November 10th, and this is where I'll stop, thankfully, right? We are reviewing the new Duran Duran on the Metal Hammer of Doom, because I'm Mark Radlich and I want to listen to the new Duran Duran, goddammit. You ever listen to much Duran Duran, Jesse?
Nah, not a whole lot. Probably know the hits, but that's about it.
Yeah, so you're going to be back this week. You're going to do an on-trial. This is when we plan to do it at the same time as Transformers Back to the Future, but they keep delaying that comic, so fuck it. We're just going to get it done. So, yes. Jesse took issue with my problems with Back to the Future 2 back in the day when Robert Winfrey and I did a Long Road to Ruin on it, and he is taking up the mantle, and he is challenging me in court. How about that?
I will, as a matter of fact, and I will win this case. Damn it.
Like you won the covers contest?
The fix is in, Mark Radlich.
God damn, pal. Alright, that's it. That's all the plugs I'm going to do. You got anything going on? You got any unspoken issues coming up?
Oh, hey, you can check out syndicated source material. Did you already say that? What if Wolverine?
No, I didn't do any of the vampires. Plugs with the Metal Hammer of Doom stuff. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
He wants to go to bed, ladies and gentlemen. Syndicated source material just aired this past Saturday. What if Wolverine was Lord of the Vampires? Listen, probably one of my favorite what if issues, where the Punisher, of all people, controls the Eye of Agamotto and the Cloak of Levitation and has to take down vampires. Not just vampires, folks. Superhero vampires. Okay? It's crazy. Check it out. We have upcoming, our recording on the 19th. That's this coming Saturday of the Tripped Up Trivia. I think this is going to be
so
the
much
most
boxing on that day.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people involved here. There's going to be, I know, Mark, I know, you got violence you have to attend to. That's fine.
There's the Zone. There's Showtime.
I know. Hear you.
Teofimo Lopez is fighting on pay-per-view for his own
Mark would rather watch violence instead of participating with the rest of his brethren and celebrating superhero females. That's super heroines.
The Monster is fighting on ESPN, Jesse Starcher. Don't you understand?
Anderson
Silva is fighting on pay-per-view, too. There's so many fights. And that's not even counting the UFC fight. The Korean Zombie is fighting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's frightening. That is scary, is what
that is. I can't do it. I can't be there.
Well, that's all right. You go ahead and enjoy your violence. We're going to put together a fun show. We got a lot of people that's going to be on there. I think we had 4 on the last episode. I think we might be approaching maybe
What's the theme on this one? Female superheroes?
Female superheroes. We're looking at comics.
I'm going to send you a picture. I don't like the picture you chose.
You don't like the. I didn't exactly choose that. That was created by our own Alexis Haina. So you, whatever you're sending me, just might as well stop, sir.
Just tell her to knock it off.
Just go ahead and stop. The graphic designer of the Rattlitch Broadcasting Network actually came up with something for her own show, Mark. I'm not putting any other graphic up.
Are you using that one every single time?
For the ladies? No, we are.
Are you doing a new one for that one?
Yeah, there should be some ladies involved in that, in the picture that I chose. So, you're thinking of the last. You haven't seen the new one. The last
no,
one.
No, I
had
haven't. That's what I'm talking about. Like that picture. No. Just like put up like a picture of question marks.
No, Mark Rattlitch.
I thought it was about the Riddler.
No. Here. So anyway, you could check out.
Use this
also,
one.
Mark, don't you want to go to bed? I'm curious. If you want to image the problem with female superheroes, this got to. Oh my.
Use that one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
send you more.
Swimming.
Hang on. You keep going. I'm going to keep distracting you. Keep going.
I have one more I'm going to plug, and that will be our Unspoken Issues episode that Chris Armstrong and myself did. That should be airing this coming Wednesday, where we discussed. See, I'm blanking on what we talked about it because I already recorded it and have it ready to go. Secret Defenders number 1, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to see a man fighting crime with a baby strapped to his back, well, we're not exactly going to be able to show it to you, but you can tune in and listen to us talk about it because that happens in Secret Defenders number 1.
Use this one. This is a good picture.
I can't wait to see it. There's going to be. Okay, here it is. Is it inappropriate? I got a redirect notice. It tells me that. Oh, yeah, that looks wonderful. Where are you getting these things from? Gosh.
I can find another one. Hang on.
You can stop anytime. You are the master of your own fate, the master of your own bedtime. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have anything else to plug as we are waiting for Mark to send me another inappropriate image.
It's not inappropriate. It's female superheroes.
It's about female superheroes. I understand. There's no nudity. I got an error 1011, whatever that is. It's probably something that says, oh, wait a second. Let me just read this to you. Here's the link. It's image/female-superheroes-bondage-4. I can't see it, but I'm curious.
Oh, I got the perfect one for you. Hang on, I got the perfect one for you. Hang on.
Let's hear this.
I'm just put it right in the chat for you.
Do that. Save it.
Here you go.
Post it.
Boom. Use that picture.
Yeah. That'll go over just well. Cannot believe. Stay off of DeviantArt or whatever it is. He unsent it. He immediately regretted.
Oh, I regret nothing.
I don't want, like, your kids or your wife to be like, what were you doing with that guy?
Well, I appreciate that, considering I have two phones under the same Apple ID, and my son's probably getting these messages up there under the Facebook Messenger right now.
Why is he sending naked pictures to you?
Dad, I'm uncomfortable.
Are we ready to go now? Are we done?
I am. I've been ready for past 5 minutes, Mark.
Perfect. All right, folks, thanks for listening to the Metal Hammer of Doom. He's Jesse. I'm sending porno pictures to him. Be well, be safe, and behave.
Shaking my head.